What's the reason why we're doing this tonight, guys?
Well, I guess it's the biggest craze currently in medicine, and everyone's talking about it and everyone's using it.
Exactly. And there are so many misconceptions surrounding this industry, right? So we're here to really sort of debunk that, as well as kind of educate, enlighten, and empower people to be able to utilize these products and these... What is the correct term, Dev?
Remedies.
Remedies, that's the one. Remedies.
You've got to be careful when you're calling it medicines.
Good evening, you candid little kittens, and welcome back to Straight Up Candid, a podcast with me, your host, CLG. Yep, I'm back and I'm blazing for episode 4. I'm so excited. I know I say this all the time, but I just can't believe I'm on episode 4 already. And, you know, this is just going so well and I'm learning so much about the podcast world and just getting to meet and have such incredible conversations with so many amazing people has just been such a blessing. Forgive my super husky voice tonight. I've had a bit of a busy couple of days and I've kind of centered on all sorts of levels. But yeah, just bear with me with my croaky, rusty, husky voice, but maybe it sounds a little bit more seductive tonight. Tonight, I have two really incredibly clued up and passionate guests in the studio, my friends Devon Laveau and Mary Camlin, who will be telling us everything that we need to know about the wild and wonderful world of cannabis and Eastern medicine. We're going green and discussing CBD, THC, medicinal mushrooms, and we're here to help you understand the differences, be informed, and also help you make the right choices when it comes to the consumption of marijuana and mushrooms. So by a short little intro to my two friends, Dev Laveau is the founder and director of Grow Green and Nature's Relief, which specialize in distribution, export, and local retail of natural medicines and supplements that optimize recovery and performance to improve one's quality of life. Dev comes from a professional rugby career and also completed a postgrad degree in business. Through that, Dev developed well-rounded knowledge and understanding of health, wellness, and performance requirements, along with the economic potential this industry holds in South Africa and abroad. After starting Grow Green, Devon saw a need for the professional services and healthcare using cannabis extracts, mushroom products, and a growing need for solutions for increasingly common ailments such as anxiety, stress, cancer, MS, and started Nature's Relief, focusing on bridging the gap between conventional and natural medicine, employing doctors to consult too. Through ongoing product development with selected R&D teams, products are created with specific dose regulation designed for different ailments that could benefit from the use and effect of various natural remedies, including cannabis variants, medicinal mushrooms, moringa, scillitium, and other valuable plant-based actives. On the other side of the mic, we have Mary Camlin, also a super, super duper friend of mine. He is an accounts manager and strategic marketing professional at Switch Marketing. He has an extensive knowledge and expertise with regards to medical cannabis, growing and licensing. Having previously worked for the Cannabis Compliance Bureau by assisting with license compliance for farms within the KZN area, with this strong passion for medical cannabis, Merrick has helped others to better understand the importance and the uses of medical cannabis and looks to encourage others to grow their own produce at home and be sustainable when it comes to growing cannabis and consuming it for medical purposes. So with that all being said, let's get those bad boys lit up, sit back, chillax, and ready to have your mind changed, informed, or even blown by the benefits of these incredible plants. Welcome back to Straight Up Candid. This is your host speaking, CLG the Great. And tonight I am joined by two of my dear friends, Devon, and Merrick. Devon Laveau is the proud owner of Grow Green and Nature's Relief, situated at the Tartal Centre in Umhlanga, in the village, and in Olivedale in Johannesburg. And Merrick is a hemp farmer as well as a medicinal cannabis consultant. And they are joining me tonight to discuss all things CBD, THC, and medicinal mushrooms. James Nguyen.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
In yourselves, Yadi.
Good. How's it, me? How's it,
Lekker.
I'm so excited to have you guys. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome. Thanks for inviting us.
I think you guys are going to give us some really interesting information on CBD, THC, and the medicinal mushrooms. I'm like, if we're just going to dive straight into it, I want to know. Okay. So this is how I'm going to structure it tonight. So, Dev, you're going to explain to me what CBD is, and then I'm going to get Merrick to talk to me about THC. Okay, how's that good? Okay, so do you want to tell us, what is CBD?
I think just before we step into CBD and THC, one of the key things to understand is that we actually have a system in our body called the endocannabinoid system, and that is a system that's designed to keep bringing your body back to its natural state. It's a bioregulator. So it consists of different endocannabinoids that the body produces, and we have receptor sites all over our body in our different cells, on our different organs, and basically these cannabinoids go and attach and they induce healing. So
that's something that we already have in our bodies. Okay, that's interesting.
Exactly. There's a high amount of cannabinoids found in breast milk. So from day one, you're already getting these endogenous cannabinoids in our body.
Damn.
That's a pretty interesting fact.
Yeah, and that system is really designed. Our bodies are incredible. They've been designed to heal and adapt to situations around us and stress and all kinds of things.
We're adaptable human beings. I mean, that's what we're designed to do.
Adapt and evolve.
Exactly.
So basically, CBD and THC are two phytocannabinoids that you find in the cannabis plant.
Okay.
Now, you get over 100 types of these phytocannabinoids that they've discovered and identified. But each strain produces around 4 to 5 primary cannabinoids. And then each strain also produces other compounds called terpenes and flavonoids, and the list carries on. But basically, these endocannabinoids, they go into the body and they also attach to these similar receptor sites or same receptor sites. You mainly have two receptors in your body. You have a CB1 and a CB2 receptor. And they're located on different parts of the body. So CB1 is more around your central nervous system and your brain, and CB2 is more around your body and your immune system and different organs and stuff like that.
Jeez, the stuff is so complex.
Yeah, it is.
So basically, we've got this infrastructure in our body that is there and designed to keep bringing our body back to its natural state and to heal.
Now,
most of the cannabinoids that we're familiar with are things like THC, because that's where the demand was. Everybody wanted
back
to die.
Cannabis, THC, you want to get high, all this kind of stuff. And it's more the misconceptions, you know, there where people don't really understand, you know, how THC and CBD, these cannabinoids and endocannabinoids, are used in the proper form in the body, and how they can actually benefit the human body in many different ways.
Exactly.
So
how does CBD benefit the body? Because, I mean, we already have cannabinoids in our body.
Yes.
Right.
So now our endocannabinoid that's similar to THC actually is called anandamide. And that helps to regulate pain. It helps.
I feel like you're speaking German to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what language this is.
Yeah. So so now CBD and THC are the two main ones that everybody talks about at the moment.
Yeah.
But there's some other ones on the radar as well, like CBG, CBC, which also have these.
Oh, wow. That's a whole podcast for another day.
So now CBD's main properties are anti-inflammatory benefits. It helps with anxiety and stress. It's got calming properties. Calming effects. And then on the THC side, that is more around, like, because it attaches to more of those receptors on your central nervous system in your brain, it's more on your pain management side, and also some different cancer treatments and stuff. It can help with things like nausea, sleep,
and some
of those things. So those are the two main ones. But yeah, CBD's anti-inflammatory benefits is the one that's on the radar big
that
time.
That is true.
Because inflammation is the root cause of most disease.
And that's why you're seeing all these tropical creams for burn wounds and things like that, which actually you can see from studies-wise, people have actually used or had a burn wound and then you use CBD tropical cream.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the recovery rate is literally like 3 times faster, because it's actually attaching to the endocannabinoids inside the body.
Which is like essentially healing itself.
To the receptors, yes. And those, like there's some interesting cases that even works with the sebaceous gland under the skin. So if you've got your sebaceous gland producing too much or too little, like from oil perspective and things in the skin, it can help to restore the balance.
Balances it out.
So instead of, it's like, it's a bioregulator. So instead of like going in and forcing a change, it just brings things back to square one.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's true.
So now if somebody wanted to come in, and I just want to sort of touch on the CBD first before we move into the THC, because I think people are kind of afraid or maybe intimidated by these two terms.
Yes.
I know from when I've mentioned, oh, you know, I'm taking a CBD product or whatever, someone will be like, oh, what do you do? Like, do you work high the whole day? And I've struggled to sort of explain it. And this is exactly why I wanted to come and bring you guys on to this podcast, is to really sort of educate and enlighten people to understand the difference and the benefits from both of these products or these remedies. So for CBD, like, what is like the perfect, let's say, ailment or patient for the use of CBD?
So CBD, why there's also quite a lot of fear and misunderstanding around CBD is because of the lack of regulation in the South African market as well.
Yeah.
So 100%. We've got people that, because they legalize CBD, CBD as a compound is called cannabidiol. And it's been taken.
Cannabidiol.
Yes. So CBD was taken.
Wait to hear what THC is.
I don't even want to know.
And now, so CBD was actually taken off the WADA banned substance list, which is for athletes, for professional sport.
Yeah.
So you can't get tested for THC or for CBD. And also CBD was taken off the schedules list if the product is under 0.001% THC and not more than 20 milligrams of CBD recommended dose per day.
Yep.
So that's the parameters that were set. And now, so they basically, the law allowed for CBD products to enter into the market. But
which
now,
is why we founded it, like Dis-Chem.
Adcock Ingram, they have their whole range. You look at it, it literally came onto the market very quickly.
Yeah. Right. And I think a lot of people are like, whoa, why am I able to buy this here?
So in that legal market, in that that regulated space, like your Dis-Chems and your Clicks and all of those, that's where you've got CBD that fit within those parameters.
Yes.
But then you have a lot of other growers and other suppliers and companies that now also want to sell their product, but they don't necessarily want to use imported CBD extracts. They're growing their own strains. And so they would put their own extracts into a bottle and label it CBD.
Okay, so,
which is like cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah, cooking in the kitchen.
Not certified.
Not so kosher. Not
yes, kosher. Look, you do get some very good people out there, and I don't like shooting like your home growers and stuff like that down as well, because you get some good ones.
I know
ones,
a few home growers.
But it's just hard for the consumer to decide who's the good one and who's the bad one without a regulation.
And you need to simplify it for them
and
make it like
pretty.
There
has to be a regulation.
There has to be a regulation. Like anything. Like normal Western medicine needs to have regulations. So no wonder this kind
then you'll
of
just get the guys that want to make money and
sell
dreams.
Which is a different
story, as CBD and
I mean that's what a big that's actually was a big problem within the hemp markets with the legislation. What happened was a lot of these people were growing hemp, and what actually essentially started happening is these people were planting CBD and THC plants in between their hemp fields and getting away with it, which was, and then until obviously SAHPRA and everyone started seeing, hey, what's going on here? And they're obviously selling that still on the black markets, which is completely a kick to us, because if you're legit wanting to do hemp legit for its purpose, it kind of like put all of us in a bad perspective where we had to change the licensing. The licensing got way more strict. It wasn't like you could just plant hemp, which is an agricultural plant. You actually have to now go through the SAHPRA process, go through everything. The license agreements is a lot more intrinsic. So
it becomes so much more regulated.
It becomes more regulated because there is this situation where you still got this merging from a legal market to black market. I mean, from a black market to legal market, And there's still these things we have to filter out through time. It's going to happen. Yeah. And we've just got to see what's going to be the best avenue at the end of the day from, you know, a shop owner's perspective to a farmer to a consumer's perspective.
Yeah. Exactly.
What
or
makes
like
sense
a home
for
groomer.
All stakeholders. Yeah. But and at the end of the day, the consumers are making decisions based on what's on the label.
Yeah.
So when you're going and buying any products, you know, that's all you've got, really, unless you trust, or it's that or trust, and you trust
that
the
or
person
trust.
Behind
exactly.
the counter.
Exactly.
Pretty much. So, marketing 101 at the end of the day. I like that label.
I like that label. It looks good. There we go. Yes. And then it says CBD, but like I actually really have no idea what. Yes. I mean, they're selling me dreams here. Yeah.
So some people have been taking bottles with, products with CBD on the label and getting high. And then now they get confused. Now they think CBD makes
and
you high.
And they don't trust the product.
Yes, exactly. Well, now they don't trust CBD in general.
Yeah,
so now
exactly.
They come now. Yeah. So it started out where THC was a feared molecule, and like everybody was like, "Oh, I don't want anything with CBD."
THC, yeah, I don't want to get high.
Something with CBD. Yeah, exactly. Then now people are afraid of CBD as well because of these guys that are selling THC in a CBD under CBD label. Yeah. So where regulation is important is for the consumer, so that you can understand exactly what's in the bottle that you're actually taking, and you can measure your results, and you can
actually
decide.
Because you want to know what you're buying. Yeah. You know what you're putting into your body. You don't want to just take anything and then just be like, hope for the best.
Yeah. But that's where the market is essentially moving to at the moment. I mean, we've got to regulate the markets. We've got to understand, you know, it's not the same for each consumer because each consumer has a certain amount of cannabinoids inside their body.
Yeah.
So what we need to actually understand is how do we regulate this on a legal basis through that of a medical practice that is actually now viable, it's done research, it's backed up, it's now, you've got consumers understanding how to actually consume it and regulate through it, and they're getting checked up on it. Yeah. And there's avenues that are currently coming out, I think over the past year and a half, I guess, that is now starting to be a mainstream system for consumers that actually do need these medicines and be a legit medical cannabis consumer and get their stuff delivered through a pharmaceutical base that's very reputable.
Yeah.
So that's where we now having to take this trust issue that has been in the market consumer. With the consumer and now actually make it more like a relationship with them, like that we know that they can trust the products. They know that it's now certified and it's backed. They can themselves even see that it's comes from, you know, that's where the whole tracking and tracing situation comes into the market. Where did the strain grow? How was it grown? Where was it actually grown in perspective? What compounds are inside of it? How much percentage of it? So that's why we have to regulate all of this within the market. So at the end of the day, the consumer gets a clean product.
Yeah, so you know where it's getting interesting is like if you want, you got that regulation process, which is just like Merrick said, and that's very important so we know what's in the product.
Yeah.
Now, the issue is that those processes are very expensive. Huge. Like on the one hand, we're saying there on the farmers, yes, we want everything to be tracked and traced and whatever, but then you need product dossiers, you need standard operating procedures from the farm to the extraction.
Management systems, tracking systems.
The manufacturing, you need all of it. So
much stuff goes into this.
So now that's the one side, but then what do you do for the small guys that can't afford that? You know, that are also doing things and following procedure very well. And how do they enter the market?
Entry-level businesses.
Okay.
So that's where we've got a little bit of a challenge. But then at the same time, we are struggling with SAPRA in this country where there's a backlog of a lot of these documents that need to still be processed. So now, even though they're saying, cool, this is the rules, you've got to submit your standard operating procedures, your dossiers, your license documents, your all of that stuff. But now it's adding it to the queue. And there's such a high demand for it. There's a massive backlog
at the moment.
And the backlog is just affecting the demand from the consumer. Coming to you guys and going like, hey, I need this product.
A cannabis patient can't wait.
Jeez.
You know, let's be really blunt about it.
Yeah, they can't.
You know?
So that's what's causing these products now to leak out the sides because you've got...
Because they're bypassing. And they're finding loopholes to like not go through all of these regulations.
Yeah. Even when we opened Nature's Relief, you know, CBD wasn't even legal. But, you know, it was a case of we had to open up with moringa and different medicinal mushrooms and all these other things that there's less red tape around.
Yeah.
But the primary reason people were coming there were to ask for help with using cannabis. They've read something online. They've seen results overseas.
Yeah.
They've seen things about all these things they've read, they've heard. Yep. But where do you get it? You know, and now where do you get the... So we like in this in-between a phase where the fully regulated ideal market is taking too long and it's too expensive. And then people don't have time to wait. You know, if they're stage 4 cancer, if they've been given a limited time frame, you can't say, sorry, come back in 6 months when we've got our license that's now been...
Because they've been given such a short amount of time.
Because SAPRA hasn't looked at the license,
Word.
Literally.
This is becoming such
but
a...
But I guess this is where...
Yeah.
Platforms like Intracan and what's the other one?
Canayeza.
This is where the actual kind of like...
The angel
within the clouds coming out. There's now an actual legal process where you can get a license as a medical cannabis consumer.
Okay.
You can go to a prescribed GP that has done an examination.
Medical cannabis consumer.
Yeah,
okay.
So you can go to a doctor, basically. That is a registered cannabis licensed doctor that does a process where they can actually assess you as a patient. See what is actually
the
best. Is
that the same thing as like a traditional healer?
No, this is your allopathic doctor.
Literally.
Right,
literally,
okay.
With the doctor registration.
Cool, I mean, I know quite a bit about THC and CBD,
so,
and I thought it was the same thing.
You can then go to the doctor, get an assessment, understand how to get what actually you need for, let's say, your condition or disorder or disease, etc.
Yes.
And from there, you get actually a prescription, not prescribed from the doctor, unless they've done their... The actual analysis to basically distribute from in-house, which is a different. That's your distribution license.
Okay.
Once the patient has actually been assessed by the doctor, they then get assessment, they get their quotation, they get their script. Their script goes through for 6 months, goes through Clicks Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Clicks Pharmaceuticals, obviously they do the payment, gets delivered to the patient's door via Clicks Pharmaceuticals.
Oh, okay.
And that, you know, is like actual... dry herb cannabis or oils or things like that that are lab tested, they've been actually analyzed, they come
that'll
from
be prescribed
source
to the patient through,
I mean, let's be honest, you can back and trust Clicks Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, if you go for your normal actual medicine, your Western medicine, for instance, for their like your basic pharmaceutical based medicines, then why can't you trust them
exactly. For your Eastern.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a couple of different routes that people are taking to market in this, and that is the one route that the guys have done with this portal setup and stuff. And what that basically uses is the Section 21C license, which technically you're allowed to, as a human or as a person here in South Africa, you're allowed to get any unregistered medicine if it's prescribed by a doctor. So there's some cases where you've got like these hectic or complicated autoimmune diseases, and maybe they've developed a drug in China or they've developed a drug in India or something like that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because it's not registered in South Africa, you can't get it from your pharmacy, but you can apply for this Section 21C that allows you to get unregistered medicines. So guys are using that system and adapting it to the cannabis system where they're touching a licensed farm to supply those unregistered medicines via this portal. So that is the one way around. But where, you know, the biggest challenge is logistics.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You have to get things from licensed farm to license to license. So
yeah, I can't go through license to unlicensed.
There's no skips.
Like
you cannot
tampered.
Skip one auditing wise. Your license will be taken away.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, if we take a couple steps back.
Yeah.
So why this situation is like this is because SAPRA, they made THC a Schedule 6 medication. So THC, this one compound in the plant, they've now made a Schedule 6. So because of that, it needs to be traded like your other Schedule 6s. So you can't just trade like morphine, I think it's Schedule 7 or whatever, but some of your opioids and stuff that are there in your Schedule 6, you can't just trade freely.
You can't
just open up a retail store and start selling them.
No, I mean, you can't go and exactly get it over the counter either. You need to go get
you need
that
a prescription.
Prescribed. Yeah.
Exactly, because it's been scheduled at that level where it's shown to have a significant effect or change in the body. So because of that, it is now forcing the cannabis... the cannabis industry to fit into that medical model.
Yeah.
And that's where where I say logistics is the whole thing, where it's got to go from license to license to license. Because if you think about your medications, you need that. If you take a pill and something happens to you, you know, and you die,
there needs to be like sort of accountability.
Yeah,
yes, you need to be able to track and trace all of those ingredients and make sure that it wasn't that. So that you can say, okay, maybe it was an allergy or something.
Maybe it was my body's response and not the medicine.
Yes, because if there was a problem in the manufacturing and there was contaminants and if there was a procedure missed and something happened like that, then that company is liable.
Exactly.
Damn.
And that's why this regulation needs to happen, because this situation where people are, you know, now misled by CBD because they were before getting stuff before it was
that
legal to be able to
THC,
actually get it, you know, they're getting stuff from people behind the counter, from like
back alley, people, in the kitchen, yeah, like whatever. No shame on that, but you know what I mean?
My mate has cooked the CBD oil,
yeah.
But it's CBD, no, you don't know. It might have many high traces of THC or even bad traces of ethanol because they haven't burnt it out properly. Which is bad for your system and your nervous system and stuff. So you got to make sure, like, at the end of the day, cannabis needs to be regulated.
Yeah.
It needs to be literally given the same kind of concept as, you know, pharmaceutical-based, like,
medicine. Yeah, same kind of attention.
It has to be monitored, dosed, checked, regulated. Sure. Because we all want to dive into this space because we know we've seen the actual, you know, benefits of cannabis and THC. Yeah. But now we need to utilize it properly in the sense where people can actually use it in a daily basis and be trustworthy with it and know that it's actually helping them for their pure benefits.
Yeah.
So we've touched on the CBD, and this is sort of like a way I wanted to try and like show the two differences between the two, right? So CBD, to confirm, does not make you high, okay?
No.
And I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions on CBD.
Yeah.
Okay, but THC, on the other hand, Merrick, tell us what THC is.
Tetrahydrocannabinol.
What?
Yeah, tetrahydrocannabinol.
I'm kidding. Tetrahydrocannabinol.
It's quite a big one, yes.
I think I practiced that one before I came here. I was like, I need to practice the word psilocybin and tetrahydrocannabinol.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so what's the difference between THC and CBD? I mean, we've spoken about CBD.
So THC, in short, is the psychoactive property in terms of the cannabinoid.
Right. So in layman terms,
It makes you have feelings, makes you euphoric feelings, out of body kind of feelings, kind of stuff like that. Okay.
Depending on the dose.
I kind of want to feel that euphoric feeling.
And that's why, you know, back in the day, you know, THC was this whole craze, you know, when people were first smoking cannabis.
Yeah.
Back in the day and getting it from, let's say, like their backhand dealer in the 60s and whatnot.
Yeah.
Those people were growing cannabis for the highest THC content. They wanted to get people as high as possible because no one's going to want to buy another bit of cannabis from this person, let me be frank, if it's not going to get them stoned.
Yeah, for sure.
But now,
I mean, that was the purpose of it.
Yeah, that was the purpose of it back in the day. And now the difference is THC nowadays is actually utilized in a sense where it's, you know, CBD has come to the party. But now THC jumps on and actually helps in certain benefits. So, for instance, certain disorders, like if you're looking at a disorder like insomnia, for instance, studies have shown that high levels of THC are better for a person with insomnia due to the fact that it actually helps them with regards to relaxation and getting into a kind of out of body
relaxed meditative state.
It calms the central nervous system in the brain, just like that. Mm. And just, you know, we the one thing that I just got to make clear here
is that
we have to just watch out about talking about cannabis in general, because one of the misconceptions is that cannabis is one thing. It is not.
It's not.
You have multiple
things.
Well, number one, you get your different strains with your different cannabinoids, right?
Yeah.
Then you have extracts. You also have Then you have, you can smoke the flower as well. So you have these different methods of absorption in the body.
Exactly.
One is through the lungs, straight into the blood. Then you've got your
immediate effect. You know, someone's just had a car crash. They need to have something for pain right now.
Yeah,
that's that one thing.
Just how the body works. You know,
exactly.
When you look at inhalers and medications and stuff like that, you're wanting to see what the best method of absorption is based on what you're trying to get or what achieve.
And there's five main ways.
You know, you've got inhaling, five main ones. You also got nasal sprays, I guess, but you've got inhaling, you've got topicals, you can ingest it, there's suppositories, there's topical ointments. So now you've got to be thinking about the type of cannabis, or whether it's in its bud or raw form, or if it's in an extract, and then how it's being used. And that's where we focus at Nature's Relief. We're really about plugging in those gaps, you know, where we're saying, cool, if somebody is looking for something for sleep, we'd probably give them something that's ingestible because it's longer lasting, it's slower release. As opposed to in other cases, if you've got osteoarthritis versus...
You'd probably give them like a topical.
Autoimmune, yeah, I mean, compared to rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
Osteoarthritis is just in certain localized joints, you'd use a topical, whereas...
Yeah, exactly.
Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease, so that's where you would ingest it rather.
Exactly. So this is where it comes to the fact of why it's important to be diagnosed by a doctor, to know which methodology or which way to consume it is going to be best for the patient.
Okay, so I mean,
and I mean, so when you come back to that, let's not overcomplicate it.
It is pretty simple, but it's very sort of like what these listeners, because I think there's going to be a lot of people listening to this who don't even understand what the difference is between CBD and THC.
Yeah.
So in basic sort of like high level form, CBD does not make you high, and THC can make you high.
Yes, it does.
There are many ways, like Devin said, that there are a few ways actually for you to take or ingest, or you know.
But also recent studies are showing now, which is one thing I need to just like make a point here. It's not just CBD and THC. It's not just left wing and right. What studies are showing now with regards to certain patients because of the cannabinoid receptors, and the more studies we're understanding with these receptors, is that with regards to absorption or actual dosing and using these products, CBD and THC now actually need to work together, actually, in cases. It's better, studies are showing that they're better used together as opposed to just only CBD with 0.01% THC, and then either a THC 1-to-1 CBD ointment. You know, it's not kind of fully utilizing the body.
They're working on it.
So the CBD actually affects the receptor site slightly differently. So it actually, imagine a lock and a key. So your receptor site is the lock and the key is the cannabinoid. Now, when CBD goes in and attaches to that receptor, it changes what the shape of the lock is a little bit. So when the THC attaches, it changes how that neurotransmission happens with the THC. So it can, like, that's a very broad explanation, but THC and CBD do work in synergy.
Jeez. Okay, so, like, why do you think people are moving towards this and these sort of natural methods of healing versus like going in the, when I say quote unquote easy route, which is your Western medicine?
So if I can give you a high level answer to that, the main difference between your medications, your allopathic medications and your natural medicines are that your allopathic medicines are chemical. They're not organic. But so... they're designed to go in and affect a change in the body. So they're going to either increase this level or decrease that level, and they're very effective at doing that. So as a short-term immediate solution, they're very effective. So medicines do have their place in
of course.
Of course. But then on the natural medicine side, it's more giving the body the raw materials to affect that change itself. So like we said, the body is designed to heal itself. It's designed to keep on rejuvenating, to keep... I mean, we don't even have all the same cells in our body after a few months. Like, cells are getting produced, they're living their lifespan, and then they're changing. Getting filtered out. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So the body is constantly trying to regulate and heal itself. Now, the natural medicine side is giving the body the raw materials to effect that change on its own. And then the other major difference is that with your natural sides, the impact on the gut is far less.
Yeah.
So the gut is a very interesting part, because your gut actually produces up to 70% of your serotonin. So when we talk about the gut, we're not talking about the stomach. We're talking about the digestive tract, the intestines and whatnot. And we have billions of bacteria that get produced there to process everything that we eat.
Yeah.
Now, when that bacteria gets affected badly, or you have some bad bacteria growing more than the good bacteria, it causes more inflammation, pain. It affects your mood, your energy, your sleep. So, the gut, they call it the second brain for a reason.
I mean, it affects your entire body.
Yeah. Your energy. Everything.
So damn. Now you have the body is so clever. I can't even handle this.
So now you got the one downside to allopathic medications is that they impact the gut negatively.
100%. And I mean, you've so often been put on an antibiotic and then you have to take like some crazy probiotic or all of these other different sort of like anti effect medicines that are not going to, that are not going to affect you. I mean, I've been affected by so many medicines. That's why I've moved away from your Western medicine.
I'll be honest, also myself, like coming from the son of a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see also naturally, like, you know, with conversations with my dad about, you know, how's his practice going, etc. Like that. You know, obviously having a new change with his practice at the Wellness Destination.
I love your dad, by the way. We just want a shout out to Raul Hadnan.
100%.
Exactly. Thanks, guys. And the thing is, he's now starting to see also that in the markets, you know, myself and my brother did a lot of market research for my father with regards to this opening of his new practice. And what we've noticed is that there's this actual shift in the market towards Eastern medicine or natural medicine, as you could say. So there's these patients that are wanting mainly just natural medicines, if you can think about it. But they've been with, let's say, a doctor for quite some time. They may be converting to natural medicine. Now you can't just ignore that there's people that do obviously pharmaceutical-based medicine. There's people that do natural medicine. But now there's something that we're calling integrative medicine.
Okay.
Which is actually bringing that of the Western medicine and the Eastern medicine together and utilizing it where it needs to be.
Working with the body, exactly. and incorporating other things like exercise,
yoga, tai chi, meditation.
I think the biggest example is an industry right now, chemo patient, getting chemotherapy, but then taking CBD to basically calm, regulate for that of their appetite, nausea, stuff like that.
Yeah, heal the body.
Heal the body. It's a pure example.
I like that you mentioned that because I know I wanted to touch on this earlier, but we went so deep into CBD and THC and it's so amazing because there's so many different moving parts to this industry and this topic. So that's why it's so interesting. I mean, what are some of the kind of patients? I mean, Merrick's dad is an integrative medical practitioner. So he is so used to like seeing different patients coming in and then being able to integrate both Western and Eastern medicine.
Yeah.
But in terms of your experience, what kind of patients or people are coming in with like, you know, what kind of ailments are the most popular that you're treating at Nature's Relief?
Yeah. So it's been great. We've spent quite a lot of time with Dr. Hamlin, with Raul Hamlin. And he's a great mind. I love
it. He's a phenomenal.
Work. Yeah. And he's really thinking out the box, thinking about the, you know, how to get the body to operate itself. And like you say, he's got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he refers some clients to us and the main five ailment categories that we deal with are pain, inflammation, stress, anxiety, depression. Sleep is a big one. A lot of people struggling to sleep.
Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of that lately.
It's our stress. So and we're overstimulated by these little devices.
Blue lights, I'll tell
blue
you now.
Blue light,
And information. We can access anything, anytime now. So,
So your mind
responsibility
is
now on us to shut it off as opposed to the back in the day, you could close the office door and no one can get hold of it.
Or take a sleeping tablet to like
back
just
in my
disappear.
Day, you know,
back in your day, or whatever, Devin. Not you're not that
day,
old.
Not this, David. I'm saying that the day.
I was like, Devin, are you showing your age? No, you're not that old. No. You two are like the same age. Exactly. You're okay. You're okay.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, so
the last two is gut health and focus and concentration. So your ADD, ADHD, and that's where more the mushrooms actually starts. Getting quite
interesting. We're gonna talk about the mushrooms just now.
I've felt benefits also from your one product with regards to that. I've had ADHD for years, or not ADHD, I'd say ADD. I find it difficult to concentrate in certain scenarios. I'm pretty sure you've even noticed that.
I was gonna say, I can totally attest that I've been on
but also I've got a condition called petimal, which is a slight form of epilepsy, which helps, which obviously degrades obviously my slight term memory in the slight term. Every now and then it pops up and my brain kind of switches off.
You
and comes
kind of
back
explain
on.
This to me. You're like, it's like almost like a reset to factory.
It's like my
settings.
Brain just switches off for 2 seconds and switches back on.
It's like holding down the power button.
By mistake. You
mine
know.
Does that with my memory.
Yeah.
But yours does that like as in like you just stop.
Yeah, and I only found out about this, I guess, you know, when I was 24.
Yeah.
And I'm now turning 31, which is not long ago. Well, it was kind of some time, but it's obviously, you know, I've learned that with regards to certain, you know, ingesting of cannabis, you know, for me, I can't really ingest high levels of THC. It's not really good for my body. I've noticed that.
Right.
So for me, I've moved from, and I'll be honest, I was an advocate of smoking THC back in the day, and I've now moved to more CBD-based products.
Okay.
Due to the fact that I now have had an understanding of how my body works in terms of its functionality as a machine, if you could think of it,
yeah.
and what benefits it with regards to what products are available, what you know is available to me, and the time of day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, do you want to be switched on?
You want to be switched on? Do you want to be chilled? Exactly. Chilled. That is so true. Routine.
So what,
routine.
So what products? I'm curious to know what products of Devon's were you enjoying?
I think it was your. It was the mushrooms, the lion's mane mushroom.
Oh my gosh, lion's mane.
Gave, mine.
Yeah, the neurotropic mine. Mine. That is it. She gave it to my dad, and my dad was like, son, listen, I need to tell you about this because I've told you now, I've been, you know, growing up, I was on Ritalin, Concerta, this is that. And I was like, okay, well, let me give this a little try. You know, I haven't tried Concerta in quite some time, so let me just see. My ADD has been a little bit over the show.
Not
everywhere.
So good.
So I took it, and I literally sat for like 4 hours.
Of
just complete focus.
On the neurotropic mind. I've tried that before. It's good.
I'll be honest, like, was amazing. And I actually realized, like, it, you know, with concerts and all that kind of stuff, you used to have like side effects, like you'd lose your appetite.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't. Yes. You would, like, you know, stuff you that you really don't want. Yeah. Or yeah.
I've seen it with
afterwards.
Friends and family.
You kind of like, afterwards, you're like,
you have like a bit of a come down.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And for me, when I had the neurotropic drops, it literally changed that whole ball game. Like, I mean, I even took some this morning for work. I was
nice.
Like, happy focus, you know.
Yeah,
so,
you got a testimonial,
and, yeah. Yeah, I'm being honest. And it's worked. It's worked for me. I like it. It helps me. You know, understanding, I first obviously started on like a small amount of drops, and then I've upped it now to 4 drops, I think it was, or is I think it? Yeah, 4 drops.
I take about 15.
My word, bro. Okay,
I think my first time I took 10.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, hell of a focus. But Devon's
I even tried
push the limits,
like, just
for you guys.
4 helped me. Like, 4 just helped me.
Devon's,
you know,
like,
honest.
Super, super.
But also, another thing about it that I noticed is it actually brought a lot of like energy into my morning.
That is true.
I don't know what else. It's
what's so interesting on that one. So it's got lion's mane, CBD, and cacao. And that one, interestingly enough, I created to try and help. Actually, on the Concerta side, I took Concerta and Ritalin, and it was phenomenal taking Concerta and Ritalin. But the problem is when you're not taking it,
exactly,
you're half the person. So I can't live on that. You know,
no,
I can't take it every day, and it's not sustainable. So
exactly.
I needed something. And then at the same time, coming out of the rugby career, looking into lion's mane and CBD from their neuroprotective properties and their anti-inflammatory benefits, we created this also for concussion. So, for athletes that have struggled.
I was speaking to a friend of mine about this yesterday, and he was like, I've suffered from so many concussions, and I think he came to your shop today.
Is it?
Yeah, he did. And he was like, I need to go and get this lion's mane stuff because I think it'll help me with my concussions.
That's
like,
crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, concussions
are
huge.
It's so interesting that was what it was designed for, technically.
Or sports injuries. Like, I mean, typical myself, tearing my MCL down or skateboarding. Flip, if I knew this, I would have definitely come to you, Dev, about broken
your heart. All the anti-inflammatory properties.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think turkey tail, all those things, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so interesting to hear how Merrick had such a positive response to your nootropic products. I know that there's a lot of products that Nature's Relief does, and I'm an advocate of your products as well. I take your CBD focus drops.
Oh,
you're welcome.
And let's just reiterate this first of all.
Yes.
The drops that I'm taking are not psilocybin drops. They're not magic
mushrooms.
Yes,
we're going to get into that.
I'm going to make sure that obviously Dev's going to go into that topic
100%.
Soon.
Because I promise
so
you, someone's
just to make clarity
going.
Before someone switches off this podcast and they're like, whoa, all these people talking about magic mushrooms, they freaking out. Oh my gosh.
They're freaking me out. Yeah. He was concentrating for hours on end. No wonder, because he was freaking high as shitballs. But we're not going to talk about that.
That's
that
natural,
is not what
edible
happened.
Fungi.
Exactly. We're going to talk about what the difference is between that in a hot second. But what I really love about Nature's Relief is that there's a massive array of different products. So if you go there and you book a consult with Dev or the in-house doctor Kyoshin, Sasha, all the guys there, and you go there and you feel really empowered to be able to make decisions yourself because they educate you. But there's a lot of different kinds of products for different ailments, like Dev was mentioning earlier, inflammation, sleep, focus,
gut health,
everything. Yeah. I mean, he's got not only just your CBD and hold on a second. Yeah. Can I say THC products?
Yeah.
Okay.
You say rather say full spectrum.
Full spectrum. Okay, yeah. Cool. But Dave, like, geez, you guys, Dave, Merrick, you guys have like given me so much information tonight. And I really hope that everybody who's listened to this has felt like they've learned a little bit. Mm. And I know there's a lot more that goes with, you know, all of these different topics and remedies. And Dave, like, what is the best thing you can say to, like, as a takeaway for anyone who's listening to this right now, who's interested in CBD, THC, mushrooms, microdosing?
So the main thing is just for people to start learning. I think it's so early in the industry that there's so much more coming. And with the fact that we've got this infrastructure in our body that induces healing, and we've got these plants that produce these same compounds, I really think it's time for people to start educating themselves around this. Because it's super empowering, you know. It's just basically learning how the body works and how to use it to your advantage. You know, if you can get your own healing and stuff like that done, you don't need to depend on anything, even cannabis.
No, you don't want to depend on like all these other sort of like pharmaceuticals. I mean, I know I don't.
Like, educate yourself about your body.
Precisely. Yeah.
Go and look at the endocannabinoid system. Understand that. Look at things like the fantastic fungi.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Yeah. I don't even need to talk after that. You know, once you look at
that,
you come and ask questions.
You'll come and ask mad questions so after that. Yeah. That documentary is definitely one of the biggest advocates I could say right now in terms on Netflix. That. If you're not seen that,
go watch
you
it.
You have to watch it.
Fantastic fungi.
Fantastic
fungi. Then when you've got, if you've got any questions, then that's why we opened up Nature's Relief. To create a safe space. We've got doctors there. You can come and engage. You can learn about the different
extracts. Come and look at all the products.
Have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, we can consult. We offer full in-depth consultations. Our doctor is super knowledgeable on pharmacology. He's actually more like, he's a homeopath, but he's more like a clinical doctor.
Yeah.
And he can assess all your medications that you're taking, allopathic medications. He understands. He'll tell you exactly what they do in the body and what side effects or whatever.
Damn.
But, you know, we're all about just having the right knowledge and information to show people a little bit, you know, and start the process of informing people so that they can make their own decisions.
Precisely.
Exactly.
And I think if you have any like burning questions, and if there's anything that you feel like you don't really have clarity on, which I highly doubt because we've dove into a lot of different topics tonight, and especially maybe sort of helped you understand what the difference is between CBD, THC, psilocybin, as well as medicinal mushrooms or functional mushrooms. And if you have any burning questions, you know, you can head over to Nature's Relief down in the Chartwell Center in Umhlanga Village and go and have a little chat with Devon and his in-house doctor and all of his amazing people who are real advocates of the brand. I mean, he's got loads of people who are promoting the brand and believe in it and who take in it all the time. And if you're interested in more of like the legal and and regulatory
understanding
aspects,
the parameters of also America's how to grow guy, at home and not have to worry about the, you know, are the cops going to come and bust into me? First of all, the legal parameters as to how much cannabis you can grow in a household of two or more adults. You know, I can give you that information if you're looking to obviously grow your own cannabis at home to help medicate yourself at home.
Yeah.
Basically, the gist of it, a household of two or more adults, you're allowed that of 1.2 kilos of raw cannabis bud. That is a shitload, excuse my French.
This is a safe face. This is straight up
Canada. You do not need that much, but it's basically this different avenues right now with regards to how you can actually get this information. You know, I think if people want to contact me with regards to any kind of medicinal cannabis relations, like where to obviously get the best, purest form of medicinal cannabis and the right, most reputable avenue, etc. How would I put them in contact with that? Which doctors can they go see? Which products I can recommend, for instance, like Devin's products and stuff
like
that.
Leave. I mean, we're sitting here chilling with
those products. This is not a sponsored
podcast. Yeah, and there's this industry and this topic have so much, there's so much information. And, you know, myself, I've always been an advocate to always pass on knowledge to people for this industry, because the more knowledge we give that to people and users, the better it's going to be at the end of the day. You're going to feel more secure. It's going to help everyone in the industry.
Yeah. I love this.
And on that point, you know, it's super empowering. It's such a cool industry because you get
And everyone loves the benefits altogether when they're in it.
It's like it's healing and it's helping in the front end. But all that money that is being spent on locally grown products is feeding the supply chains and developing our economy in the
back. There we
smacking
go.
Up the GDP job, for us.
Job creation.
Job creation. So just also look and try and work with brands that are local, that are looking at focusing on local.
Support local guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's why I can't wait for the legislation to kind of be a little bit, not trying to be rude, but a little bit more slack in terms of entry farmers and entry growers into the market, because we need, that's why they decriminalized that of growing it in a household, because what happened was they started to have like in areas, like if you look at the Transcar, it's implemented into their culture.
Yes.
They grow this as a part of their culture.
Yeah,
but you can't just rock up there as a cop and be like, okay, hey, what you're doing here is completely illegal due to my political standpoint. I'm sorry, but they've been doing it for hundreds of years. Before politics came into play. So don't now go there and tell them exactly. So that's why we've had this kind of change in legislation for that reason, for medical growing at home, for yourself, how many plants and stuff like that. So that eliminates the amount of people going to jail for a petty kind of crime, if you could think of it.
Yeah.
But it becomes a crime when that person jumps the border of distribution of the cannabis, which is obviously not a system trying to sell. There has to be a legalized avenue. That's why we're looking at legislation changing for the better. It's going to a point where we can all get involved in the micro business sense, and obviously from there we can alleviate and create more jobs, more positions, and uplift the communities a lot more. I mean, if you can bring up how many jobs creation that happens from the start of a medical cannabis farm is actually massive. If you're looking at it from that
all
perspective.
All the way through to the extraction company, manufacturing,
logistics.
Packaging, everything.
Logistics, everything.
Exactly. You're creating jobs. So
what are you guys so afraid of? I mean, what are you guys so afraid of this industry? I mean, there's so many benefits.
I guess we're not afraid, but I guess what kind just of puts uneducated. The hair on our back, I guess, is all the red tape that comes
precisely.
Up sometimes.
Precisely.
And the misinformation
and the red tape.
Misinformation from people trying to sell cannabis is also, unfortunately, one of the negatives to the
industry.
Biggest
negatives,
It's actually, it's a bit frustrating because, you know, like it is a powerful compound, it is a powerful medicine, and where in some cases it's being just sold and given out irresponsibly, it's really creating a lot of fear around this powerful medicine for certain people, you know. So like, we really also want to encourage other stakeholders in the industry to act responsibly, because you're shooting everyone in the foot by overdosing people and just playing around with something.
And that comes from the small time home grower at his house to the big time baller having a big time medical cannabis facility and growing for the overseas market.
Yeah.
To that of the user at the end of the day.
Act responsibly, guys. Whether you're a consumer,
grow it responsibly, consume it responsibly,
and advocate it responsibly.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And I just want to clear up where we are as Nature's Relief. There's two cannabis shops on either side of us. Make sure that you are in the right.
That's very true.
We often get people say, "Oh, you're another one of those cannabis shops." We definitely not. We're focusing really on the medical side.
Yeah.
On regulating dose, and we're operating differently.
That's very true.
So we are in that main parking lot in the Chartwell Center across the road from Mary and Joe.
Across the road from Mary and Joe, right next to Recon Coffee, and there's a barber shop right next to you guys as well.
That's correct.
I know exactly where you guys have been. I go there all the time.
And soon with these little water solubles, we got some exciting ones coming up. Like, we've created that alcohol infusion, the alcohol alternative.
I've been seeing this. This is one thing I was looking into the market, first of all, is cannabis-infused alcohol.
Okay.
So, like, taking, for instance, the terpenes from certain plants, like, for instance, a blueberry plant, a blueberry strain, it has the smell of blueberries, and infusing that into a gin. So the gin tastes naturally like blueberries, and it gives you a slight buzz.
Well, this is so interesting.
Besides the alcohol, like, it obviously, but it's not like the whole concept that if you, you know, smoke grass before you drink, you know, your ass, whatever.
It's totally different thing.
It's not that. It's more like
it's going to give you that buzz.
It gives you the buzz, but it's good. It's a beneficial buzz. It's not an overdose.
Well, you could
cannabis.
Use a CBD strain with the, I guess, the
perfect. Exactly.
Like that if you wanted to. Or THC.
I mean, that's it.
It's just versatile, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. And that's where also even just hemp. For instance, hemp has so many byproducts from it. It's one plant that you can get into so many avenues. You can get into that of manufacturing clothes.
Houses.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard of hemp clothing, but I've never heard of hemp houses.
Hempcrete. Hempcrete.
Yeah. Guys, this is mind blowing.
Hemp slate walling. And that's self-insulated, that you don't even have to spend more manufacturing process on putting insulation.
Yeah. No.
So there's all this advancement.
The walls full of hemp.
Yeah. So it's even changing the industrial game. It's changing the architectural game. It's changing the clothing industry.
It's the paper
industry.
Yeah, hemp paper.
I mean, the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper.
Mm. No, stop
I'm
it,
I'm not
guys.
Joking. Why do you think it's still... looks so pristine in its shape and form.
Well, here we go. We're changing the game here.
Yeah.
One podcast at a time.
We'll see.
Bottle of Lion's Mane and Cordyceps and Nootropic Energy at a time. Guys, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for educating me. I feel like I've learned so much and my brain's going to be like, tonight. But fortunately, I've had my Canna infusion drops and I'm ready to go have a snack and chill. And Merrick.
Pleasure.
Dev, thank you guys so much for all of your incredible knowledge and information and letting my listeners just feel empowered and educated in this amazing episode.
Thank you, Gala.
Yeah, and thank you, Gala. Like, well done on
a platform to talk about these things because it's so taboo that people often shy away from these conversations and stuff. But it's really not the old cannabis, get high, get fucked up.
Yeah,
it's so complex. Different now. So
this is
much
like
greatness.
Biohacking and making the most.
Literally.
Exactly. The most thank you. That is actually the best ending.
That's
going to
be the title.
To be very honest.
Biohacking with cannabis.
Biohacking with cannabis and mushrooms. That is
it. SEO right there.
That was a video. That would be the thumbnail.
Maybe this is going to be the intro.
There we go.
Guys, I am so grateful. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. You guys are amazing. So that is it, guys. You heard it straight from Devin Lavoie and Merrick Hamlin, two of my dear friends who educated us, empowered us, and enlightened us all about CBD, THC, and functional mushrooms. Until next time, good night. Mm-hmm.